Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one. That's one of my favorite songs. I just like that song. The Lord's good, isn't he? The Lord bless each one tonight. Let's turn to 2 Samuel, the last chapter. And I don't know if there's a lot of chapters, a few chapters in 2 Samuel I've missed. Out on, and maybe I could go back on them. I don't just see what way the Lord leads, but it takes a time, it takes a lot of time to go through it all properly. And I never have enough time. I want more time, but I don't have the time. So you're getting it in a short time, what I have got. But the Lord bless tonight. I want us to read a few chapters, verses tonight. So I'm going to pray before I read tonight. I want to read all 14 verses of 2 Samuel 24, and well, there's more than 14 verses, but I'm going to read 14 verses. But I want to talk to you tonight about David's choice, and just try and bring some things out. And there's more things, you know, on these subjects. Others could bring things out. So there's so much in it. But let's come and let's pray tonight. I want us to pray, and I want to remember the different ones that's maybe still... Is your dad still sick, brother? And we'll pray for Brother Bobby and your mum. And my mum's home wants to thank everyone for prayers. She's doing well. And well, my mum's a case, but the Lord bless her. She's home and doing well anyhow. And let's pray. And if you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord. Praise God. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, we humbly, reverently bow before you tonight. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, there's not one thing in any of us that we could approach to you outside of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for full atonement. Can it be? What a Savior. We bless your name tonight for full atonement through the blood of the Lamb of God that washes us and cleanses us. We pray you'll wash us and cleanse us afresh tonight. Forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. Sanctify us, Lord, and may every spirit be subject to the Holy Spirit. And I pray you'll bless and touch your people tonight. For the hands raised, you know, every single heart, every single situation and every single need. And I do pray, Father, that you'll meet every need. For we're asking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Pray for Brother Bobby, Lord. Pray for Sister Helen as well, that you'll touch both of them tonight. Heal them and make them whole and make them well. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you for you've touched my mom, and I pray you'll bless her, strengthen her, encourage her. And oh God, just have your way in her life. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Lord, I take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, I do pray for any that's maybe not here tonight. They're working. That you bless them, be with them. And for the nurses, the doctors, bless them, strengthen them. And for your own people, Israel, bless them tonight. And bless your word now to our hearts in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can remain seated because it's quite a few verses I want to read this evening from 2 Samuel 24, beginning at verse 1. And again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. For the king said to Joab, the captain of the host which was with them, go now through all the tribes of Israel from Dan even to Beersheba, and number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people. And Joab said unto the king, now the Lord thy God add unto the people how many soever they be, an hundredfold, and that the eyes of my lord the king may see it. But why doth my lord the king delight in this thing? Notwithstanding the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the captains of the host, and Joab and the captains of the host went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel. And they passed over Jordan and pitched in Orah on the right side of the city of Laith in the midst of the river of God and toward Jazer. Then they came to Gilead and to the land of Tathatim Hodshai. Now you might be pronouncing these right. And they came to Dan, John, and about to Sidon, and came to the stronghold of Tyre and to all the cities of the Hivites and of the Canaanites. And they went out of the south of Judah, even to Beersheba. So when they had gone through all the land, they came to Jerusalem at the end of the 9 months and 20 days. So it took them 9 months and 20 days to do the thing, numbering the people. And Joab gave up the sum of the number of the people unto the king, and there were in Israel 800,000 valiant men that drew the sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000 men, and David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet God, David's seer, saying, Go and say unto David, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things, choose thee one of them that I may do it unto thee. So God came to David and told him and said unto him, Shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land, or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee, or that there be 3 days pestilence in the land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return him that sent me. And David said unto God, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord. His mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. So this is David's choice, is what I'm titling this tonight. And in numbering the people, David was, he was groping blindly. He'd done the thing he shouldn't have done. And I thought about this as I studied this and thought about this. What's the first thing somebody will ask you? They'll ask you, where do you go to church? Then the next thing comes out of the mouth. They'll not ask you, what does your pastor preach? They'll not ask you right away, what do you believe? They'll say, how many goes? And if you give them a big number, they'd near attend it. But if you started to tell them what you believe, you'll not see one of them. And God was not happy that the people were numbered. And I'm telling you, and I'm going to get into this a bit in a moment, if the Lord leads. He might not lead, I don't know, on some thoughts I have that come by my own. If they are, they'll drop off. It won't matter. But I'm telling you, human strength is different from divine strength. And David's an anointed man of God, and David's God's servant, but he still was wrong. And we can be anointed, we can be God's servants, and still do wrong. And when you look at the life of all the great men of God, even in the 20th century, look at the times they done things what they weren't meant to do. And David was one of them as well. He done things, a lot of things he wasn't meant to do. But I like verse 14. Let us fall on God. And there's a lot of times we need to fall on God, but we need to acknowledge when we're wrong. And then fall on God. There's no point falling on God if I don't acknowledge if we're wrong. That's if we are wrong, I'm saying, if we do something wrong. Now I want to look at this chapter just basically before us. And the first thing I'm seeing is this temptation here before David in this verse. One, he moved David to say, go number Israel. Now, God didn't move him. The devil did. That's who moved him. The devil. Now, you say to me, Brother Tom, where would you get that in the Bible? I'm going to show you now in Chronicles where I got it. To show you the enemy moved him to do it. So you see, you can be moved with your own self, or you can be moved with God. And you know over the years, and all of us know, somebody could give you a word of themselves, or they could give you a word from the Lord. And the word of a man will do nothing, but the word of the Lord will do something, won't it? And we want the word of the Lord. That's how we know the real prophet, isn't it? The Bible says, if it comes to pass, fear him. If it doesn't, don't worry about it. Now let me read you Chronicles. Now this move, evidently, I believe it came from an enemy. And Chronicles 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1. Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. He numbered them. Now you know the day, a move of God today is clashed with numbers. Is that the truth or not? People think today in this country, other countries, they think if the thousands gone, God has been it. God's moving if they can get the numbers. If they can get the numbers. But a real revival mightn't be any more people at all. William Branham said a revival in a lake or in a water, it's not making it more water, but it produces a storm on it and it brings all the rubbish out of it. He says that's a real revival. So that's God's people getting cleaned up is what he's talking about. He says that's a real revival. We want to see God's people fired up. Now you could have numbers and numbers, but they're still living like the devil. That's no revival. That's a man-made thing. And there's a lot of man-made things. But we can have the real thing. Why would we want the man-made thing? It was Israel's own hurt and the fact that the number and strength was dependent on. And it is ever a cunning device of Satan to get us to trust in our own strength. And I tell you, numbers. And he knows if we do, you know, if we stand up in our own strength, we'll fail. But we can't stand in our own strength. We need the Lord's strength and we need the Lord's help. We can't do it in our own strength. If we get our chest out and think, I can do it, that's a bad thing. Ephesians 6 and 11 says this, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. We need God's provided way to stand against the enemy. Isn't that right? And we need the armor of God. Zechariah 4 and verse 6 says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto thee, Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We need the Spirit of the Lord. That's what we need. And I tell you, the Spirit of God will do it. But I'm not condemning David, and I don't want you to think that. And I like verse 14. We'll get to that a bit later, where he fell on God. That's what I like about David. And that's what God liked about David. He was a good repenter. Here's another thing as well in verse 10. He made a full confession of it all to the Lord. David's heart smote him after he had numbered the people, and he said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly. But you know, I find there's people can do things and they never make no repentance of it. They think I'm saved, I'm serving the Lord, we'll forget about it and go on. But sometimes when things happen, it has to be put right. You know, the man, you know, I worked with a man years ago and he was talking about, you know, of a man committing adultery on his wife. And he asked me the question about it. And he didn't like my answer, but I didn't care anyhow. And he was questioning me all about it. Now, I'm going to tell you this here tonight. I discerned he was the man that was asking the question. And he was asking the question about such a man, if he was tempted and he fell with another woman, and he asked God to forgive him, would that be it over and done? And I said, no, it wouldn't be. Because he never sinned against God. He sinned against his marriage vow. And I says, such a man would have to go and tell his wife what he'd done and ask his wife to forgive him because he broke the marriage vow that him and her had. And he didn't want to hear that. But that's what a prophet of God said, and that's what I believe. Now, you would ask God to forgive you as well. But the thing is, you give your word at the altar, those that's married, and if you broke that, then you sinned against that person you're with. That's who you need to ask to forgive you, vice versa. I'm only using this as an example. But that man didn't want to hear that. Whether he wanted to hear it or not. Now the same man again, there was a service took place that God moved on it. He knew God moved on it. And several people questioned him about myself, what I believed. So he wanted to tell them his version of what I believed. And he questioned me what I believed about the spirit of Elijah. And was interested. And you know that book that Leon Long wrote, you'll not get a better book explaining it. The five times the spirit of Elijah. And I told him to come to my house. It'd be at work, but there'd be a book left for him. And I knew he'd never come for it. And he really told me lies. He had no interest in anything about the spirit of Elijah. What his interest was, he could tell somebody else that had heard me preach somewhere for God moved, that you mightn't want him because of what he believes. That's actually what he done. And he never come for the book. That's deception, isn't it? And you see, David here, David knew what he'd done wrong. He done it, but then he realized it, and he asked the Lord to forgive him. And not only did David realize it, but God sent a prophet, a seer, and told him he'd done it, and told him he was wrong. And I tell you, the Lord's people, you see, if we're really the children of God, the Bible says those he loves, he chastises. Isn't it good the Lord chastises us? That shows he really loves us, doesn't it? You see, Job's glowing report that we're you know, David's, this kingdom, 1,300,000 valiant men that drew a sword, verse 9, brought no feeling of relief to the heart of the king. Didn't help him. And you know, when you count here and you read through this, there's 70,000 died because God sent a plague on them. Because of this sin, sent a plague on them. So God didn't let it go. There was judgment because of this. And I tell you, you know, God can forgive us for things in our lives, but there still can be repercussions sometimes down the road. And I know what I'm preaching about. Look, when I could see him, I had passed things that I had to confess to. Now, I could have not done anything about it, and it might have improved. And the thing might not happen, but then I wouldn't have had a clear conscience. But I wanted a clear conscience, and I wanted to be able to preach from this Bible. And I knew what I had to do, and I got jailed because of it. That's what happens. But I had a clear conscience over it. You see, what were these if God was not for them? You see, all these men, all these numbers, he wasn't pleased when he told them, because David, regardless of all the strength and all the army and all these mighty men and all these numbers that he had, that meant absolutely nothing if the Lord was to leave him. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, tonight, the world means nothing to the real believer. It's the Lord that means everything. Isn't that the truth? It's the Lord what we want tonight. We want the Lord in everything. And I tell you, if you've got the Lord in everything, he'll fix everything for you. But without him, it'll never happen. Perhaps much of our failure in the past has been due to number and of our own capabilities. And I just mean it can mean a lot of different things, and ignoring the Holy Spirit. But we want to be led by the Holy Spirit. We number organizations. We number the meetings. We number the people. We number our pounds. But say, how much do we count on the power of God? And you know, there's organizations in the past, and that great men came to this country and they maybe didn't make them enough money, so they never had them again. They weren't interested in the power of God. They were interested in the organization. But I tell you, we need God. No matter about anything. Isn't that the truth? We could pray with David, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. And that's what David prayed, and that's what David said. Here also in verse, one of these verses, it was a terrible offer. Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things, choose thee one of them. This is a terrible offer. There's none of them good. But he says, oh, you'll have to choose one of them. And you know, when you go back and you think of Moses, and you read about Moses, and Moses was a powerful man of God. How many believes that tonight? But yet you know he done things he shouldn't have done. And God said to Moses, you'll see it, but you'll not enter into it. Isn't that the truth? And God buried him up on the mountain. And then God said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. But you, Joshua, you're going to go over. You're going to possess the land. And I tell you, Brother Branham said, Joshua today is the Holy Ghost to us. We can't depend on some man. We need the Holy Spirit to take us over. That's what we need. That's our Joshua, the day of the Holy Ghost. He's the one that'll do it for us. In 2 Samuel 24, verse 13 to 14, so God came to David and told him and said unto him, so 7 years of famine, and you see all these things offering, but they're not good offerings. And David said unto God, I am in a strait. Let us fall now in the hand of the Lord. David fell to God. David realized what he had done, and he falls to God. And I tell you, the only thing that can bring the move of God is if God's people will realize and fall to God. I was thinking, you know, recently, let's say I become a millionaire in the morning. Just let's say for talk's sake. And I'm just saying for myself. And let's say I decided, I'm now a millionaire. I'll buy a church. I'll buy a building. That doesn't mean that it would be filled. We would have a better building. We would have our own place. But it doesn't mean that God would move or it would be filled. It just means we'd have our own place and we'd have our own building. That's all it means. God wants people that's hungry for Him, for God to move. Whether it's in a tent, in an orange hall. And don't think God can't move in an orange hall, because God has moved in many an orange hall in days gone by, and He can do it again. It's only a bit of wood and building. It's nothing. The Lord will meet anywhere for people genuinely met in His name, and the Bible tells us that. The three things were equally fearful, although the length of duration was different. 7 years of famine, three months feeling plain before the enemy, or 3 days pestilence, yielding to, you know, to these things. It's all sorrowful. Any of these alternatives would be sorrowful, no matter which one it was. It would seem that all three judgments were due on to David's sin, but God, who delighted in mercy, gave him his choice of one. God could have done without giving him a choice, but He gave him his choice of one. But David fell on God. And the three judgments are most suggestive, really, of disobedience and dishonoring God, isn't it? That's what it's like. And God does not promise to give us our choice as to how He'll chastise our pride and our unbelief. And God will chastise us, I can tell you that now. And I know from my own self. But we need to take heed how we go about things. Isn't that the truth? Hebrews 12, verse 6 and 7. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son that receiveth Him. Because we are the Lord's children, the Lord loves us, He chastises us. It's like our own children. Now, we're in an awful fix, you know, in this country, and in England and all. Because, you see, we're the government and this age has fixed it all, that if you were to give a young fellow now a real good tanning with what he's well deserving of, you'd hardly do it. The police would be at the door. You'd be away on the battalion at school. Here's a number. You could ring this number and get your mum or dad or whoever it is arrested, basically. But the Bible says that the rod's for the back of the fools, isn't it? Spare the rod and spoil the child. But that's the way our societies went. Deuteronomy 8, verse 5 says, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chastiseth his son, so the Lord thy God chastiseth thee. And sometimes the Lord chastises us, but it's for our own good. And maybe sometimes things can happen and it hits us back a bit. But later on down the road, when we look back on it, we'll say, thank you, Lord, I needed it. But I didn't know I needed it at the time I got it. I got the cane, but at the time it happened, I didn't really know that I needed it. But now when I look back, I was blind to some things, and I'm glad that you clipped my ears a bit. I'm glad you done it. And I tell you, when I think of it, and many's the time I think of it, and their dad was hard on us boys, and you see, when I think of it now, what if he hadn't have been? How would my wee mama cope with us boys if my dad hadn't have done the things he done? She wouldn't have been fit to do it. And it never done us no harm, really. And I tell you, sometimes the Lord chastises those He loves, doesn't He? You know, you think of William Branham. William Branham could hear from God. William Branham had an angel that came to him every single night at meetings in Africa, in Durban. The miracles was phenomenal. And yet, although William Branham disobeyed God because he wanted to please other ministers, and them ministers influenced him. And he went and he threw a stone up and he said, "Thus saith the Lord, where do the will of God?" And yet people were healed and saved in the meetings. But hailstones come down in them meetings. And he said the angel never spoke to him for 3 months. God never spoke to him either for a long time. That's what he said. Because he was out of the will of God. Now God honored David's choice, didn't he? When he fell down, God honored it. And I tell you, we can be wrong, but we're right when we fall on God. And even though we can be wrong and we can do things and we regret them, there's still hope we can fall on God. And not only can we fall on God, God can still use us. God can still move. And David done all this and God still blessed him and God still moved. And when you read on and you get into Kings, you'll see that there's a young, smart lad thinks he's taken over, but it doesn't happen. Because God's with David. God honored him. He honored his prayers. And when you and me fall on God, God will hear our cry. He'll hear our cry, won't he? David said in verse 14, David said, "Let us fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercies are great." David had sinned against God in choosing the number of the people. Now he will honor God and allow him to choose for him. And we must allow God to choose for us. And these three things, David was going to allow God to choose him, not him choose him. He could have picked one, but God, he wants God to do it. And God's mighty hand was uplifted to smite the pestilent king, saw it coming down and the force on him, didn't it? But he looked beyond the awful sword into Jehovah's gracious heart and took refuge in his mercy. God could have smote him down. He smote Saul down. But he's mercy in David. Because David falls on God. Falls on God. And he went out and anchor a soul in the mercies of the righteous. And you know God hates sin. He hates sin. And he knew that the mercies of the wicked are cruel, aren't they? Now we're dealing here in the Old Testament. God judged people in this Old Testament in a powerful way. You know, in the Old Testament, and I know we're living in the day of grace. I know that. I'm not preaching works tonight. But I'll tell you one thing. We still have to live right. Isn't that the truth? But we want the Lord's mercy tonight, don't we? Want to be able to fall on God like David. And I don't know what situation you're in tonight. But I want to emphasize this as I'm coming to close in a moment. I want to emphasize that you can fall on God. Whether it's a financial situation, whether it's a marital situation, or someone in the home or at work or anything, you can fall on God. And God will answer. And God will move. Proverbs 27, verse 5 to 6 says, "Open rebuke is better than secret love. Fearful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Somebody can come up to your face and they're lovely, but behind your back they stab you. There's nothing as nasty as that. Although God's arm is strong to smite, his love is strong to save. And though all this judgment's laid out for David, David's done wrong, but he's acknowledged it. And these three things are laid out, how God's going to judge. But David falls on the Lord. And I thank God for God's mercy. The choice God offers now is grace between life and death, between retribution and salvation, heaven and hell. The sinner tonight's the choice of heaven or hell. Why should anyone now say, "I am in a great strait," when there's an open way? There's a way open. And his ears opened our cries. Mercies are great, aren't they? 1 Peter 2:24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Because Jesus Christ bare our sins. Even when we do wrong, he bared our sins. That we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By his stripes wounds we are healed."
Psalms 143, verse 9 says, "Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee. Hide me." And I tell you, there's enemies that would slay us. And I tell you, that man, and I'll mention no names or anything like that, but he had other plans. His plans weren't for me, what I originally thought. He'd other plans. And he wanted to tell what I was believing. But he come across in a way he was interested. Maybe he was seeing it himself, but he had no interest in seeing it. None whatsoever. What he was doing, he was letting other people know what he thought I believed. And I know others have done that, and what they tell is not, I don't believe the half of what they tell. And we as a fellowship don't either. They've told things about this church which is lies. And we don't believe the half of the stuff they tell. That's the way it was years ago too, you know. Years ago, sure, they used to tell about people swinging the lights and all. There's an awful racket going on and all the different stuff. You know, when George Jeffreys, and I told you before, came here to Northern Ireland, the stories are told about that man. And they said he's one of them healing boys, and they ridiculed him. And they said nobody gets saved in his meetings. They're too busy with this healing carrying on, and nobody gets saved. And when George Jeffreys run his meetings, far more people got saved in a fortnight than they were seeing saved in years. But the enemy wanted to badmouth them. It's the same as speaking in tongues, isn't it? You ever talk to people with tongues? All they can tell you is some negative story. Okay, I heard, but there was nothing to it, and this and that, and it's all a big negative story. There's never nothing positive. But what about the Spirit of God when Paul says that God revealed the secrets of the heart, and the unbeliever fall down before you and say God's in you with truth? And what about the signs that's for the sign to the unbeliever? They'll never mention them things, what the Bible says about them. Sure they're not. Let us fall on God tonight. Now, don't think I'm suggesting that anybody's done some terrible sin. I'm not. I'm just taking this out of the Bible with what time I had to bring it out. On the main things that David fell on God, even though he'd done wrong. And we're not, and maybe in that situation tonight. And if David could fall on God after doing what he'd done, surely we can fall on God. And you said, but God heard David, that was David. But the Bible says God's no respecter of persons. And anyone that'll call on him with a true sincere heart, the Lord will hear them. Let's come and let's pray tonight. And God will move tonight and this weekend of the Lord's time. Please keep our brother John still in prayer each service he goes. And our brother Andrew, beat him as he prepares to come here, that the Lord will have his way. I want to see our family move for the power of God, that God will have his way. Let's come and let's pray this evening. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, your mercies are new every morning. Lord, we would fall on you tonight like David. This is what we're looking at, Lord. We're looking at this verse that we would fall on you. David had a choice, and he made the right choice in that he fell on you. And Lord, many, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. Father, I pray you'll deliver your people tonight from the hand of the enemy. Lord, we thank you for the times you've saved us and delivered us when we didn't know anything about it. We just give you all the praise and all the glory tonight. Father, I pray for each one in this house tonight that you'll bless them, that you'll strengthen them, that you'll be with them, Lord. And ask for all our children that's still not saved, that you'll move in every single one of them and save them. Bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. Lord, I thank you for all the young men and women that does come. And Lord, that takes part in the service. May you give them a special blessing. And may you keep them as the apple of your eye all their days. In Jesus' precious name tonight, Pray again for the sick amongst us that you'll heal them, that you'll deliver them. Pray for Brother John as he prepares to go, that you'll bless him and strengthen him. Lord, that you'll use him mightily and give him words that he'll speak, Lord, that'll just deliver people, Lord. Pray for Brother Andrew as he prepares to come here, Lord, over Easter, that you'll just bless him and be with him and strengthen him and go before him. And may you receive all the glory and all the praise. For we ask these things tonight in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as we.